I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You know, Cole, I got a few words for Dave Roberts, the manager of the LA Dodgers.
Y'all need to be fired.
He needs to be fired for robbing Blake Snell of what could have been one of those legendary career moments last night against the Brewers. He was slaying them.
Y'all need to be fired.
Picking them up, putting them down. Just going roughshod all over that Brewers lineup. And Dave Roberts, for no apparent reason, chooses to pull Blake Snell out of the game. He was absolutely mowing them down. Eight innings, gave up one hit, struck out 10. He was cooking. And Dave Roberts took him out of the game. Welcome into Wire to Wire. He is Cole Bryson. My name is Diesel, and you Tolos watching on the stream. By God, we appreciate you being there and being a part of the show every single day. Chop it up with the other Tolos, because now all of your comments show up on the screen, which is awesome. I know a lot of our Tolos, Cole, they will just sit at home and put us up on their big screen on YouTube and just watch the show that way.
That's truly turning it on and leaving it on, right?
I love it when you Tolos tell us that you do those kinds of things. But, man, what a decision that almost came back to bite Dave Roberts in the ass last night. Mm-hmm. How bad would that have been if he takes a guy that was damn near perfect through eight innings of that game, chooses to take him out, and then could have ended up losing the game. Now, the Brewers only put up one on the board. The Dodgers won the game. That's what matters. But, man, it was close.
Well, it is what matters. The Dodgers were really, really good last night, in large part due to what you just said, Blake Snell. Now, I watched the game because, obviously, having it as part of my Prize Picks lineup, I was heavily invested. So
good plug.
Right. So obviously that game went down to the wire because of not only the Los Angeles Dodgers elite pitching last night and Blake Snell, but also Milwaukee was really good last night as well. So Freddie Freeman is like the hero up until the point that Dave Roberts decided to do what Dave Roberts did. Now, let me even back up before that. If any of you Tolos were watching, the almost grand slam was probably the wildest play I have ever seen happen in baseball, just in terms of what could have happened, Diesel. Bases loaded for the Dodgers early in the game. The ball is hit off of the top of the wall, hits the glove, bounces back in. They thought it was enough for a home run, or for a grand slam, but it was not. It was a weird, wacky type play, and the Dodgers were that close. And for those of you not watching, they were so close, Diesel, to going up 4-0 early in that game, and that game could have been a lot different. But the decision to pull Blake Snell for Roky Sasaki, I have no idea. I can't figure it out. Blake Snell was incredible. I was watching it with a few buddies last night, and at that point, we saw that the camera Diesel switched to the bullpen, and you saw Sasaki warming up, and you're thinking, there's just no way. There's no way Dave Roberts, after what Blake Snell's done, is going to pull Snell for Sasaki, and guess what he did? And to your point, it almost cost him. It almost did.
He had thrown, I saw the number earlier today, but I didn't write it down. I think 103 pitches Blake Snell had thrown at that point in the game. Like, what's wrong with 110? What's wrong with 115, 120? Right? I mean, it's not like the Brewers were finally starting to touch him and starting to get all over the field, right? It's not like he was put into bad situations. He was still throwing the ball really well, had great velocity, had great command, great control, and the Brewers couldn't hit him.
You know how many hits he allowed last night?
One.
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 One
Why
hit.
Why do you pull that guy?
10 Ks.
Come on. Managers manage scared, right? Analytics have done some great things for sports, for baseball, but they also put these managers in a position where they don't trust their instincts anymore. They don't trust their gut anymore. And your gut says, let Blake Snell go out there and do it. By God, he's earned the right to try to close this game out in nine innings. He's earned the right to go a complete game. But because the analytics say that once a pitcher gets to 100 pitches, his velocity starts to fall off, you pull him out of the game and you rob him of what could have been an amazing career triumphant moment.
It was 103, to your point, 103 pitches. He's been locked in this postseason. By the way, at 0.86 ERA, which is nuts, he's averaged 7 innings pitched per game, a .52 whip across 21 innings. Snell has just let up 5 hits and 2 earned runs. Think about that. That's absolutely insane. And Blake Snell last night, to your point, was robbed. He was robbed of an incredible moment. And Dave Roberts, shame on him. Luckily, when you look at what happened late in that game, Treinen came in and saved him. But you're talking about, Diesel, the bases were loaded. Ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, or top of the ninth, rather, Milwaukee had an opportunity to bust that thing wide open. The go-ahead runner was at the plate. Then they get two on, and all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking, this is not good. I was watching it on my laptop because I had Monday Night Football on one TV and the other Monday Night Football game on another TV, so I was locked in. And by the way, random side note, I told a buddy of mine this morning, Diesel, I think last night might have been one of the greatest random Monday nights of sports in a long, long time. Just three really good games between baseball, the two Monday night games. I mean, it couldn't get better for Monday.
Here's the problem. I don't know. I mean, I saw a picture of your setup. I know how you were watching games. You had the TV on.
Yeah.
You had your laptop on, and you had another screen. It was like an iPad or something.
I had a computer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You were watching on multiple screens, and a lot of people don't do that. Most casuals, and that's what all these networks are trying to chase. That's what all these sports are trying to chase. You're trying to chase the casuals. The hardcores are going to do what you did and have up multiple screens, but the casuals are not going to do that. And those casuals make up a large, large, large number of people. And I just beg the question, what is Major League Baseball doing? The hell do you think you're doing scheduling a game up against double Monday Night Football? You're not going to win. You're not going to get the viewership numbers that you think you're going to get. It just baffles my mind why they continue to do that. How many times have we talked about on this show and on this station over the years just how dumb it is to try to go head-to-head with the NFL? You're not going to win.
I don't know. I agree that you're never going to win going head-to-head. I don't know that Major League Baseball has a choice, though, in the postseason.
Why not? They could have scheduled this game for today.
Well, you've got the Dodgers. You've got Game 2 today. You've got Game 2 tonight at 8 o'clock. So the only game tonight, you don't have Blue Jays tonight. You have Game 2 of that game last night tonight. And I think in the regular season, you know, there are so many games, it's hard. I think baseball is to the point, Diesel, where they're just content with it. They know they're not going to go head-to-head against, NFL, especially to your point, two Monday night games. But I will say, I normally will go multi-view. However, when I'm really, really focused, Diesel, I have to go with different TVs because multi-view, when you put it in multi-view, that's fine. But you can not really – I've talked about this, but you really can't focus on the game like you want because the screens sure. become so small at that point.
They do, and your eye just kind of jumps around all over the place. Yep. And, yeah, you've got the – you've got it on screen, but you kind of have to notice when yeah. something happens and hurry up and put the little cursor on yeah. that screen so you can hear the audio from that. Like, yeah, I know, they'll get you back with replay after the fact.
But real quick side note, last night really tempted me to have another flat screen mounted on my living room wall.
Such a bro cave.
I think I'm seriously considering it now because I have like an 85-inch.
Yeah.
But then I would love like a 50 or a 65 or a 75 underneath it. I mean, I've got a serious issue.
Do you have the bandwidth for that?
I think so.
I assume you're on wireless internet now.
Yeah.
Here's how you pull this off, Cole. You have an 85-inch TV, right?
Yeah.
That means you divide that 85. I know this isn't exact, okay? But you divide that 85 inches by 3. You could align 3 27-inch TVs underneath
that'd be good.
Big screen TV.
That'd be good,
so
too.
So you could have the one big one and then 3 little ones below it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way to do
I'm
it.
Thinking
that's the
about
way to pull it off.
Because last night I had to take the one from my bedroom, lay it against the wall, which is fine. But I'm just sitting there thinking, man, if I'm going to do something, I need to do it right. And I don't like I think YouTube TV multi-view is great for some people. But again, for me, if you've got an 85-inch TV and you're watching 4 screens at once, you're watching, what, a 30-something-inch TV at that point or less? So I don't enjoy watching a game. I guess that's why I like a sports bar better because the screens are still big. I want big screens.
Well,
and I want multiple.
You know that now you can buy a TV up to 120 inches?
Yes, I've heard.
That's like your wall. That's your entire wall. And that's not a projector, right? Up until now, you had to have a projector to be able to pull off sizes that big. But you can get them. It's crazy to me that now, like, Samsung has a 98-inch TV that's $1,800. Let's see. There's a 100-inch Hisense, $1,700. There's something here that claims to be 132 inches.
Mm,
that's almost $4,000.
That's ridiculous.
We were spending that kind of money when flat screens first came out.
And now they're cheaper.
We were spending that on 720s.
Yeah, now they're a lot cheaper. You know what my problem was last night? My buddies were making fun of me. So I have 2 Rokus, right? 2 Roku remotes.
Yep.
And the problem is that I had last night is when I would click one, it would do it for both.
When you got to get like an Amazon TV.
That's what I'm
TV.
Saying. I took the bedroom TV in the living room, turned it on, and when I turned it on, I turned the big one off. And then when I turned it off, I turned the other one on, and then I'm trying to change the volume. That's the only tricky part. I've got 2 Roku remotes right there, plus a laptop watching the Dodgers. It's a, you know, third world problem, right?
Texter says, Cole likes his TVs like he likes his women, big and multiple.
That's terrible.
Another texter says, Cole,
terrible.
How come nobody talks about fantasy football, or am I missing it? We talk about real sports on this show.
We have the leagues, we just don't talk about them much.
We talk about football, baseball. We don't talk wrestling because it's not a real sport. We don't talk about fantasy football. You know why? Because it's not a real sport.
And I've done a terrible job this season. I've had like 3 or 4
Tolos
messages.
Oh, so you're saying if you were good, if you were crushing it, you'd be talking about it.
When I say terrible job, I mean terrible job even being invested. I've been slack. I've been really slack.
Puppy Monkey Baby in the house, one of the top 5 names in the Upset Picks Challenge. I'm glad that you mentioned that because coming up later on in the show, we will, of course, be sharing the absolute latest standings for the Upset Picks Challenge. I can tell you right now.
I'm sorry, what are we talking about? The gummy worm pizza?
I have no idea.
What's he talking about?
No clue.
How many slices of gummy worm pizza did you guys eat?
What are you talking about? Where did that come from?
Were we supposed to have gummy worm pizza today? Did we have pizza?
No. What is this? Oh, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about that internal email that came out from Roy this morning, Roy, our promotions manager, who, if you ever win prizes, you get emails from Roy. That's the Roy that we're talking about. Somebody brought in pizza to the studios earlier today.
Oh.
And I guess.
So how's he getting our emails?
I guess one of them, maybe Rob talked about it. Rob must have talked about it on the show this morning. Because Roy sent out that email earlier today saying, hey, come to the break room and get free pizza. But you and I are never here in the building. We don't ever get to partake in that kind of stuff.
No. The email was sent at 10:45.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Oh, God. He's hacked our emails.
Did Rob tweet about it or something?
Does Puppy Rob, Monkey Baby work here?
Is Rob Puppy Monkey Baby, because we haven't gotten a pick from Rob in a while, or is Lonzo? I like to believe that it's Lonzo.
Oh, he says Lonzo put it out on a video for the Upstate Pulse. No,
that clears it up.
We should have went down there and looked.
Hang on, let me put my headset down. I'll go take it. No, I'm kidding.
Here's the email. A spooky sweet lunch is taken care of. Pizza Inn, Sandworm Pizza, downstairs break room.
Yeah.
It's back.
From Beetlejuice, the Sandworms.
Should we stream this thing live and go see if there's any left? That would be interesting. Pizza is there? I don't know.
Got to go check it out.
I didn't know there was pizza today. Did you?
I'll run down there during the break.
I know,
we'll make Jay Paterno wait.
Jay Paterno. Sorry, Jay. We've got to go see if this sour gummy worm, pizza's still in the, oh my God.
For what it's worth, though, trying to rein this thing in and get back to topic.
We have went off the rails. Now I want to go down there.
Tolo Steve is crushing it. He's got three in a row. Brandon in Spartanburg has four picks in a row. And by God, Dave Mosley hit again.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
This is getting
Dave
ridiculous.
Mosley has 70 points.
This is 70. Getting outrageous.
85 won this thing last year. I mean, it's ludicrous how he keeps hitting week after week after week.
How does that happen?
Sitting on a horseshoe? I guess. My only other explanation is that he is Marty McFly.
And didn't Bill Bender offer to hire that guy? I think he offered to hire... Who was it?
Dave
Mosley. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. I'm going to, in a minute, go down and check for the Tolos.
Awesome.
Once we get done with this, live on the air.
But
I'm interested about this pizza now.
So I know that we're going to take off because we got Jay coming on here in just a couple of minutes. But you don't go against the NFL. You don't go against their programming. You're not going to win. You gotta try to chase those casuals, and I just think it's a bad, bad idea. It's a bad look to do that. So let's go ahead and run off to break here, Cole.
Hold on. Real quick.
Okay. Oh, you're going?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. Stay
you better
here.
Run. Don't forget your keys because I can't come and let you in.
That's true.
Let
that's
you
true.
Back
hold
into
on
the
sec.
Building.
Cole
is headed down
live
to the break
air.
Room to find
live
out. Yeah. To see if we have any more of this sandworm pizza. Bring me a slice if you come back.
Is that what it's called?
I guess. You said it was from where?
Pizza Inn, I believe.
Pizza Inn.
Here we go. Let's see. You ready?
Oh.
All right, we're told.
This is the height of anticipation.
This is the best radio.
Pat Kraft says, is this a Pat McAfee skit?
Let's see. Live on air.
Okay.
Hey, John, say hey.
Hey.
You're live on air, by the way.
That's the John who is in our studios a lot of times.
Here we go.
Operating. Uh-oh.
That's not sandworm.
All right, that's cheese pizza, pepperoni pizza, works.
Whoa.
Sandworm pizza. Look at that. Look at that, Tolos. Does that look appetizing?
Do you
another,
want some?
I do.
All right, I'm going to bring some.
Yeah, I'll...
What the heck is sandworm pizza?
I'll take an array, so I don't want I don't want to only
look,
eat sandworm
time.
Pizza.
Diesel, one more time, live on the air. Look at this.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to get a bite right now live on the air, Cole? That's just ruined his diet. Ruining Cole's diet.
Hey, that's actually really, really good.
Is it all sweet like that? Frosting?
It's like jelly beans.
Oh, you're going to want more than one. I'm going to get you two.
Okay.
Look at that.
There you go.
That's I said say bye, not hey.
Tolos, right. We're going to do another review a little bit later on in the show. We have to get out to break because we have Jay Paterno coming up in the very next segment. So
he'll
this is going to sound
though.
A little
he'll
bit wonky, Tolos. I am going to take us off to break, run around to the other side of the board, and take us off to our commercial break on the air. So we'll get back and have on Jay Paterno from the Board of Directors for Penn State next.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Well, Tolos, we're keeping the conversation going right here on the Fan Upstate as we welcome in for the second time on these airwaves, Jay Paterno, member of the Penn State Board of Trustees and son of Penn State legend Joe Paterno, to comment on Penn State, the firing of James Franklin, and a little bit more. Jay, as always, love talking to you, man. Appreciate your time this afternoon. Want to start very big picture for those out there listening today in the great state of South Carolina. When it comes to Penn State, James Franklin, they know the name Paterno. With you being in your position, can you go into a little bit of detail of what your current position is for those that don't know, and how much you have to do with, obviously, Penn State athletics now going forward in your current position?
Well, I coached for 22 years of college football, and I've since I'm on the Board of Trustees at Penn State. So we're not directly involved in the hiring and firing of coaches, nor should we be, but certainly involved in a lot of the decisions that go into the athletic department. So still at every game. I do a TV show up here called Nittany Game Week that covers Penn State every week. So very, very, very attuned into what's happening.
Jay, what was the split of voices from fans and boosters and the people that you've talked to that led up to the ultimate decision to let James Franklin go? I mean, obviously, we know his record against top 10 and top 25 teams wasn't stellar. It wasn't where Penn State fans want him to be. But you look at 35-plus wins over 3 years, that's nothing to sneeze at. And there's no guarantee whoever you hire gets you back to that exact same spot. So kind of where was the fan base as far as split of fans that wanted to keep him around and fans that wanted him gone?
I don't know if I can give you a statistical number, but, you know, we're playing Oregon, number 3 in the country. Third quarter, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, we fall behind 17-3, and the student section start chanting "Fire Franklin," almost in unison. And you sit there going, "We're in the middle of a game, in a top 5, top 10 game, and we're done with plenty of time." We come back, we tie the game, we go to overtime, and everybody's all in again. And then we lose the game, and they start again. We had a college hockey game here last week on Thursday night. and the other team scores a goal, and our fans start chanting Fire Franklin. So it became this, it became this overwhelming thing. Now, that doesn't mean it's fair or it's earned or it's deserved, because I don't think it necessarily was. But as you mentioned, 35 wins the last the previous 3 years, and going 3-3, you start to say, well, okay, well, you know, I would think a guy that's won 35 games has earned the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, administrators and people at this in this day and age, they're reading the tea leaves all the time, and they're reading social media and getting Stratcom people to say X number of mentions are positive, negative, whatever. And they start to run their organizations based on that. And I don't think that's necessarily the way to be successful.
Jay, how much do you think the noise that you just talked about went into the actual firing of James Franklin?
Well, I think it had something to do with it. I don't think there's any question. You know, internally, I can't really, couldn't really tell you what, you know, what the team's mentality was like or whatever it may be. But, you know, this was a team that got behind Oregon and played hard to get back in it. A team that really came out, didn't start the game off very well against UCLA, was down 20 and got back within a score. So this wasn't a team that had just kind of mailed it in. I think the reality was, despite the expectations in the offseason, this was a team that was, if you look at, there were three really close losses or close wins last year. They were every bit as close to being 8-4 as they were to being in the national championship game. And some of it is, I think, people overestimated how talented this roster was. It's talented. But, you know, when I looked at, you know, the expectations for what the offensive line would be, the running backs, all that kind of stuff, they were not performing to that level. Coming into the Oregon game, when you look at the non-conference schedule, they were not performing at a very high level. And some of that, you know, that is really ultimately what undid the whole thing.
Talking to Jay Paterno, Penn State Board of Trustees member. Maybe you've heard his last name a time or two. Jay, right now, yesterday Cole and I were kind of ranking the available jobs in college football. And, you know, it's right now Penn State is in a category of its own. After that, there's a fairly significant drop off to the other coaches or other teams that are looking for coaches. Back-to-back national championship winning conference, great fan base, great support, big-time changes coming to the stadium there. What if, though, another elite job comes open in the coming days and weeks, like a Florida job? A lot of people think Billy Napier is kind of right there on that edge, too. Does that affect the speed at which Penn State needs to make a decision, or is Penn State's brand and this opportunity so strong that you feel like you can take your time?
I think the thing that's accelerated this more than anything is the December signing day. So now everybody's afraid that, you know, I got to keep my recruiting class together. So if we're going to make a move, let's make this move now. And then we can get a coach in place that can keep the signing, the class that we've got committed here. But the problem is at a place like Penn State or a place like Florida, if that were to come open, the kind of coaches you want to go get are likely at other schools having very successful seasons, and who do not necessarily want to walk away from their team when they're in the middle of a potential playoff run or whatever that may be. So that becomes really, really problematic in terms of where we are. And I think part of the reason that this may have happened sooner than later is the idea that let's go grab somebody because Florida may, that job may come open, and we don't want to be competing with them for this.
You know, that's so interesting, Jay, because ultimately I think you're exactly right. The timing is big, and every decision made, especially at that high of a level, timing's very important. You mentioned keeping the recruiting class together. You mentioned December and that window, that period coming up very soon. How do you believe the ones making this decision will weigh waiting to try to get one of those guys that you talked about that still may be coaching versus the urgency of getting someone in now? And I guess the second part of that question is that interim tag. How important is it for that interim to be able to keep that recruiting class together?
Yeah, I mean, no matter how, you know, when you have the interim tag and you're trying to keep the recruiting class together and having been through it once, you can make all the promises in the world, but at the end of the day, they still want to know who the next coach is going to be.
That's right.
So I think there is certainly some pressure to try and get somebody sooner than later, but we'll see how that unfolds.
Jay, can you talk to me about the triggering of the 15-day transfer portal window immediately after a new coach is hired. That rule has changed from where it was before. It was once a coach is fired. Now it's once a coach is hired. It's kind of unprecedented, right? This is the first, one of the first major openings since that rule was changed. How does that affect things? How are you guys kind of looking at how that will play out?
Well, I think that that's going to impact it greatly. I mean, the first thing is that a coach got to do is not only create, keep the recruiting class together, but also figure out who's going to stick around and try and recruit the current team. Because if you bring in a guy who is a – if you have quarterbacks that aren't mobile, for example, and you bring in a guy that's going to be running all kinds of spread zone read stuff, they're going to have to try and keep those guys from leaving or just – or tell them, hey, look, you're not going to fit into what we do. So I think those things – become important. All the while you're trying to, you have to meet with HR to sign your paperwork and you got to get your office keys and all these other things and have a press conference. And there's so many things that go into it now. So it becomes really tough to do all those things.
Jay, when you talk about the decision that was made, and by the way, we're joined by Jay Paterno right here on The Fan Upstate. When you talk about the decision that was made over the weekend in the firing and the dismissal of James Franklin, how much of a risk do you think that is? We all know there's a risk involved in hiring a new coach anytime you do so. But when you talk about a guy who, granted, has had some heat on the back end of his career, but when you look at the stability that he brought to Penn State, I mean, it's unprecedented. How much risk do you think was involved for those that were having to push that red button? How would you weigh that risk?
Oh, I think it's a tremendous amount of risk because you know there's no guarantee in any of this. You may have had conversations with two or three guys that maybe you think are interested in the job, but until they take it, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, number one. Number two, you know, everybody wants to fire their coach, but when you sit down and say, well, who do you want to hire? Now, all of a sudden, they're not, you know, this guy, somebody wants this one, somebody wants that one, somebody wants you to go, you know, dangle $15 million a year in front of a guy like who's retired, like Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, and, you know, all those things. And even if you got somebody like you know, Nick Saban, you just still have some fans that say he's too old. He doesn't understand the players these days. He won't be successful. So, I mean, it's there is risk in no matter which way you go. And the devil that you know sometimes is, and most times is better than the devil that you don't know.
Jay, you mentioned something there I want to follow up on, maybe already having someone in mind. Do you believe, and I know you can't go into specifics, but do you believe the magnitude of this, with Penn State being one of the larger brands in all of college football, that when you guys make a decision like this to let go of James Franklin, you already have to have some sort of word, some sort of commitment, some sort of back-channeling interest that the person that maybe you're interested is in, the person that you're interested in is interested in your job. Therefore, that gives you a little bit more confidence to be able to kind of rip the Band-Aid off?
Well, I think no matter what, every athletic director who's worth their salt has in their drawer somewhere. I mean, not obviously not in a drawer, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They've all got short lists. In case if my coach leaves or abruptly quits or says I've had enough, whatever it may be, or gets hit by a bus, whatever it may be, they've got a couple people they think would be good fits for them. And if you don't have that, then you're probably not doing your job.
Yeah.
But there's also, once you have that short list, there are also some other names that'll pop up over the course of a search that you go, oh, I hadn't thought of that guy, I thought of that guy. So, you know, we'll see how it unfolds. But certainly I would think that there was some idea as to who they'd be interested in. Even my dad in his last year, you know, when he knew he was going to retire a year and a half out, he told, you know, he met with the AD and met with the president of the university. And they came up with a list of four or five guys that he would like that they all thought would be appropriate.
Talking to Jay Paterno, part of the Board of Trustees for Penn State University. You know, coaches always say the right thing in these situations. I'm thinking of the Matt Rhule press conference where he says, you know, some iteration of I'm focused on my school, I'm focused on the team that we have to play this week. Do you ever get, you know, a little quiet chuckle? I know you have to put on the poker face, but a quiet internal chuckle when a guy that you know your school is reaching out to is saying, quote unquote, all the wrong things to you publicly?
Well, I don't know who we've reached out to, so I can't guess as to who is or isn't being clever. I do know that at one point I was asked about, I was asked by a group of student journalists there was a rumor that I interviewed for a job somewhere else, and I had. And the student asked me if I'd interviewed some. He said, I read somewhere that you may have interviewed at such and such a place. And I said, well, you can't believe everything you read. And that's all I said. And they took that as a no. And I was like, all righty. We've clearly failed our journalism students at Penn State, but I got away with one. You know, and that's kind of how you watch these things. And, the interesting thing is it's as much what they don't say as what they do say.
Mm. So with that being said, I know you may not can comment in depth on this, but if the decision were left up to Jay Paterno, who do you look at as a good fit for Penn State?
I don't even want to go there. I want someone who understands what this place is about, what it means academically, what we want our kids to do academically, what our fan base expects. We want that blue-collar, hardworking mentality that's always been successful here. Because, look, if I mention somebody,
yeah,
somebody's going to say a trustee at Penn State mentioned these three guys, and now they're going to get asked at this press conference. And some of these guys I know, some of them, you know, and then all of a sudden I'll get a call like, hey, what'd you put me in that vine for?
Yeah.
So I'll leave it at that.
I knew you wouldn't be able to. I just thought I'd ask anyway.
No. Oh, you got to ask. Wouldn't be doing your job if you didn't ask. And and now that you know my trade secret of avoiding answering questions, then you know what I just did there.
Jay, how do you feel about, you know, the ability of the interim coaching staff's ability to keep a large portion of this roster together? You alluded to it earlier, a lot of talent on this team, you know, a top five team at one point in this season. You know, how much of that do you think you're going to be able to retain? Maybe it's too early to answer that question. And how much of a selling point is that to whoever may be coming in after Coach Franklin?
I think they'll do a good job. Terry Smith, who's the interim coach, is a guy I played with at Penn State years ago. He's been around a long time. He's been, I think, one of the few guys that's been here since James got hired. I think they'll do a good job, some of those guys in that staff. But it becomes difficult because while you're trying to retain the roster, you also have to start thinking about where am I going to go next, because I may not have a job here. But I think they'll do a good job. And I think, unfortunately for them, the really hard part of the schedule is coming up with six games, four of them on the road. They go to Iowa this week. They have an off week. They go to Ohio State the next week. They have Indiana after that. And then they've got at Michigan State, Nebraska, and at Rutgers. So there are no gimme putts left on this schedule.
Fans will always focus on the winning percentage against the top 10 teams at institutions like Penn State. But can you give us some tangible ways in which the program is better off after James Franklin had his tenure there?
Well, I think when he first got here, there were some real challenges. And I think this team has had a lot of success. People are used to that kind of success. And I think that's the baseline now. The baseline will be that, you know, 10-win season, 11-win seasons. You're going to have some 9-win seasons sprinkled in there because that's just the reality of the game. But I think that we're back to where people, you know, the fact that people are mad that we're not doing certain things is a good sign. Good sign. So,
Jay, before we let you...
We'll look forward to see what happens.
Before we let you go, you mentioned the journalism class that puts you on the spot. I mean, I guess I'll keep it up and continue to put you on the spot here. I mean, you did coach for 17 years. Did you have a .00001% interest at all? I mean, you coached at Penn State. You're a Penn State guy.
Oh, you mean now?
Yeah.
Look, if they called me tomorrow and said, we really need you because everybody else turned it down, yeah, I'd go do it.
I just had a thought.
The job right now I would go seek is manager of the Red Sox. So I think that looks like a cool game.
Jay, you're the best man.
Well, you did ask, so I did give you an honest answer
right.
On that one.
Hey, Jay, would you have pulled Blake Snell going into the ninth last night?
No. No.
There you go.
I literally said, what are they doing?
Yeah, me too.
Because the last pitch he threw, I went, what was that?
Yeah,
definitely would not have pulled him.
So, Jay, so much.
You guys have a good one, man.
You too, man. Appreciate you as always. Jay Paterno right here on the Fan Upstate. Really good stuff there on Penn State, James Franklin, and, man, just the entire, not the search process, but what the message is. And Diesel, there's so much to unpack from that interview. Mm-hmm. I know we have Daily Wires coming up, but my gosh, a lot to unpack from that and what he said. And I did kind of put him in a tough spot asking who he would think would, you know, who he thought would be an ideal fit. But I also, you know, when he said, I'm not going to get into that, he also continued to talk, and he said a Penn State guy who understands what it means to, you know, win at Penn State, and that's Matt Rhule.
That is Matt Rhule.
I don't know. Again, not reading too much into it, but and then the whole part about contacting somebody before you fire James Franklin, like, that's a huge part of it, man. Huge part of it.
Yeah, it's weird how they do it. It's kind of like you want to know that the girl's going to say yes when you ask her to the dance before you actually ask her. So you ask her friend, ask that friend if she would go with you to the dance. And then if she says no, then, well, you never actually asked in the first place. But a fascinating conversation with Jay Paterno, Board of Trustees at Penn State. He said he's not involved in the hiring process, but he will definitely be involved in the payment process.
That's right.
That's the last line of defense before those final decisions are made. Let's do our daily whip around of what's going on outside of the upstate sports world in a segment we call our Daily Wires next.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So much going on in the sports world, Cole. Not enough time to get to all of it on every single show. So we do this whip around segment we call our Daily Wires. Here's the buzz in the sports world. Last night on Monday Night Football, the Bills scored on their opening possession in the second half to draw the score to 21-14, but couldn't score again afterwards. Fell to the Falcons 24-14, an embarrassing loss, honestly, for the Buffalo Bills.
And you got to remember, that's the same Falcons team that just lost the Carolina Panthers a couple of weeks ago.
30-0, yeah. Right. The Bills have now lost two straight games. They sit at 4-2. Think about this, Cole. Their four wins, as much as we have gassed up the Buffalo Bills, their four wins have come against teams with a combined 3-21 record.
It's true. Their defense is not good. And think about it like this. Transitive property, Diesel, the transitive property tells you that because the Falcons beat the Bills, and the Panthers beat the Falcons next week, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, the Panthers are going to make light work of Buffalo when they come to Charlotte.
We'll see. We'll see. I would expect that stadium to be rocking in that game. Also last night on Monday Night Football, the Bears topped the Commanders on a game-winning 38-yard walk-off field goal off the foot of Jake Moody. What's fun about Jake is he had been on the Bears active roster for exactly 7 hours when he made that kick.
It's not bad. And by the way, Jaden Daniels last night, game-sealing drive to go down there and seal the game. Fumbles the ball. It was pouring down rain, but fumbles the ball. The Bears get it. It was a really entertaining game last night. I thought Washington would win. They did. They did, you know, at times kind of bleep the bed a little bit. But the Bears don't look now, but the Bears kind of looked good last night, Diesel.
A little bit of scary news when it comes to the Bears, DJ Moore. He was hospitalized after the game, did not fly back with the team to Chicago, received precautionary medical attention in a local hospital in Washington, D.C. The reason for his hospitalization was not specified at the time, Cole, and I'm looking to see if we can find any kind of updated information as to exactly what it might have been. We'll keep looking on that. Hadn't seen it yet today. If anybody knows, let us know. Moore contributed with 3 catches, 42 yards, and 2 rushes for 10 yards. So not a huge game for DJ Moore, but still a productive game nonetheless. But we will keep looking for an update on that injury. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel called Tua's comments about a lack of attendance in player-led meetings, quote, misguided, saying that a post-game news conference was not the forum to air those concerns. Here's what Mike said, quote, I think regardless of intent and what was on Tua's mind after the loss as the franchise quarterback, that's not the forum to displace that.
I think he's just salty because he called out leadership. And, you know, he talked about leadership starting at the top with Mike McDaniel. Maybe he didn't like the fact that Tua called people out. Maybe that's what it was more about.
What's funny is I read that in a way that sounds like Mike McDaniel can speak coherently.
Yeah.
But I'd be willing to bet it sounded more like think regardless of intent. And that's how it sounded.
Yeah.
You know, he can't really put together those words. Eagles veteran edge rusher Za'Darius Smith announced his retirement from football yesterday, posting on Instagram, quote, I knew this day would come, but now that it's here, I'm feeling so many emotions I never expected. Za'Darius finishes his NFL career with 223 solo tackles, 70.5 sacks, and 10 forced fumbles, leaving that Eagles edge rushing room kind of thin.
Most certainly.
Penn State Athletic Director Pat Kraft acknowledged yesterday that James Franklin's record in big games played a role in firing James, saying, I'm here to win a national championship, and I believe our fans deserve that. If you didn't hear, if you're just now joining the show, last segment we had on Jay Paterno, son of Joe Paterno and Penn State Board of Trustees member. Great interview, worth listening to, worth finding on the app once that goes live. Matt Rhule didn't exactly shut down rumors that he might take the Penn State job, saying, this place is elite, talking about Nebraska, and I want to be a great father, and I want to be a great college football coach, and so I'm not going to talk about a lot of job openings when they come. Worth noting, Penn State AD Pat Kraft hired Matt Rhule at Temple in 2012, so they have a relationship.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see, man. This all of a sudden, this Penn State job opening becomes really intriguing with Matt Rhule's name out there.
Cleveland Mayor Justin Bibb and the Haslam Sports Group announced a $100 million agreement between the city of Cleveland and the Cleveland Browns for the construction of a new domed stadium in Brook Park. The funds from HSG will support lakefront transformation and prepare the current stadium site for redevelopment. And last one here for you, Cole, as there's always more and more ways to get different business partners involved in sports. FC Barcelona announced a collaboration with music star Ed Sheeran through their sponsor Spotify. So if you happen to watch a lot of foreign soccer early in the mornings, you might notice Ed Sheeran's play logo on the front of the FC Barcelona jerseys, or kit as they call it, against Real Madrid on October 26th.
I'll throw two more at you as well real quick. The Fan Upstate Player of the Week for Week 7 was announced earlier today. Reddick Langston, quarterback of Malden High School, and we will talk to him tomorrow on the show. And then, Diesel, how about this? South Carolina named its Sport and Entertainment Management Department after David and Nicole Tepper in recognition of a $5 million donation from their foundation, South Carolina announced today. So Teppers might not be good at putting together good football teams. However, they're good at donating money, I guess, right?
They got that.
They've got that going for them. A segment titled What We Failed to Mention Yesterday. Mondays are slam-packed reacting to what happened over the weekend. What Diesel and I failed to mention yesterday. Next.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.